I have been terrible at tracking how I've used my points over the years. I certainly wasn't going to take the time to build a spreadsheet to track this stuff like many of our audience have, and I respect it. I'm not hating on it. It's more just like envious. I wish I had done that over the years, but I have not.
Welcome to Take Off, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm Travis. We're coming back with new episodes starting on September 23rd. And today, I want to try something new. Not a lesson, but a question for all of you. Right now, without opening anything, how many points do you have? Not in one program, not just with one bank or one airline or one hotel. All of them. You know, the airline miles from that one trip on an airline that you hardly ever fly, or the hotel points from a work trip 4 years ago. The balance of points that's sitting on a card you've been meaning to close. Add it up. What's the total and what's it roughly worth in dollars? If you've started working, feel free to keep doing it if you want. But the honest takeaway here is that almost nobody can answer that. I couldn't for years, and sometimes still trying to do it from memory, I mess up, you know, and this is my job. I do this professionally. And here's why that matters more than it sounds like it should. Every single decision in this hobby depends on that number. Whether you need to open another card or if you already have plenty, knowing if the flight is a good deal or a terrible one, or whether you can afford the trip you keep researching when you can't fall asleep at night, or, you know, when you're already on another trip. We're all guilty of that. If you don't know what you've already got, you're not making decisions, you're just guessing, and then you're anxious about the guess. And the truth is, that's not a knowledge problem. You can know everything about transfer partners, about banks, etc., and still have this problem. It's simply a visibility problem. And it's the one we hear and talk about, honestly, the least in this hobby. So today's compilation episode is not to teach you anything. We're just going to describe the problem accurately using 4 years of this show, including a lot of moments where the four of us admitted that we have the problem too. And then at the end, you'll hear what we did about it. Four segments, the spreadsheet always breaks, the mental load that nobody warns you about. You don't know what your points are worth and what we built to help with that.
Over the years, just in the Facebook group, especially as it's grown, or even not even just limited to us, but website, other websites, Reddit, you know, just any sort of forum or community, people have kind of yearned for and looked for a way to share information about their trips and their actual redemptions that they've taken. You know, obviously this hobby is overwhelming and a lot to manage in not only your cards and all that kind of stuff too, but the way you're actually using your points.
Yeah, I was definitely in the spreadsheet camp for a while, but I was constantly finding that, like, I would have one spreadsheet that would work perfectly for one trip that I took, and then I'd redeem points a different way or, like, use a different type of free night certification or something, and then it would just, like, blow a hole in my spreadsheet, and I'd be like, okay, well, now I have all these random notes in this right-hand column, and it's really hard to go back and reference and, like, make any kind of educated assessment of, like, how'd I do on that trip? 'Cause you can't.
Oh, for sure.
It's just, it's messy. I mean, I'm not the best Excel person. I'm not claiming to be, so I'm sure other people might have a one-up on me.
Back in the day when I used to write articles more regularly for our site, I would track it and just kind of in a notes document, because it's like, oh, I know I'm going to write an article about our Australia trip that's coming up. I need to log all the stuff here so that I have enough information for an article. That works great for that, but not just general purpose and know-how. I kind of like to think the cobbler that doesn't have any kind of shoes, you know, type theory or philosophy here, where, you know, obviously I'm traveling, I'm using points, whatever, I kind of work in this space, but I don't have a quick list of, hey, here's all the places I've been, how I use it, all that kind of stuff. People would share stuff. It's always in a different format. Some people would write novels on Facebook posts, but obviously that's not easily scannable. You know, can be great content, but people might want it in a bite-sized chunk and then additional context if they have it. Or of course people would sometimes make their own version of a spreadsheet, but then you run into issues with the quality and consistency of the data entry, or everything's in a different format, or some people might include this information or some might not. So there's not like a ton of consistency, or worst case, somebody puts all this time into building a Google spreadsheet, but then the sharing settings are wrong. So they like share this link and then nobody can get into it. So
Yep. Yeah, and then you have 375,000 people tagging you going, can you give me edit access? Thanks.
Yep.
Look, I'm going to be fair here to the spreadsheet people because a lot of you are spreadsheet people and I'm a spreadsheet person. And some of the spreadsheets I've seen from a number of you are genuinely beautiful. But here's the thing. Once you do this long enough, unless you are really dedicated to that spreadsheet, what ends up happening is not that the spreadsheet is bad. It really only holds still if your behavior holds still. And the moment that you need to add new columns and it doesn't necessarily work with what you had before, we've all been there. It's, I kind of need to rework this, refactor this, re-add this. Oh, but now like the whole thing's changing. My format is breaking. And inevitably it just starts becoming comments and notes left all over the page to kind of make up for those times when it just fell apart. You know, it's when you stop rebuilding it because the effort to rebuild it just isn't worth it anymore. And you just start putting band-aids on it until eventually you just stop using it and stop opening it. Yeah, I did that for years too. I only stopped last year and it wasn't because the spreadsheet failed. It was because of something quieter.
Yeah, this year became a lot easier. I fully transitioned away from my spreadsheet, which tough for me to do. It's old reliable, but I finally... I moved myself into my 10X a long time ago, but I never set up my wife's account. And this year, I really found my focus being more on using my P2.
I just wasn't as on the ball as I normally am with booking way in advance. And I also think that I was a little bit too, feeling too comfortable with my points balances from the kind of COVID era. Like, you know what, like 2024 was one of the best years that I can remember in this hobby in over a decade of doing this, of just card offers and the ability to earn points with them. It was incredible. New ones launching all the time. It's as if banks got together and decided, like, let's make this our year for big bonuses. And I was a little too slow on some of those, or I guess I could have been faster, just because I'm sitting there looking at my points balances thinking, I'm pretty good. I don't know if this is going to drive me to action here. And now sitting here, of course, I wish it did.
What is one thing in points and miles that you wish someone else would just handle for you?
I think my answer is that sometimes I wish I was a P2.
Ooh.
So then my P1 would just handle everything for me.
Mine definitely doesn't top that, but I wish someone would close cards for me.
Oh, yes. I
just went through closing a card and... It was probably 2 years ago when we did the episode with the review of my wallet. And I think I'm finally getting around to closing some of those cards.
You paid 2 extra years of annual fees.
Yeah, but like I was breaking even on them, but now the annual fees went up and it's break even just isn't really good enough for it anymore. So some of those common friction points, like I forgot to use my credits or I'm making this purchase at this store, I don't know which card to use, or I just need some expert help to help solve my points problems.
2 extra years of annual fees on a card that he meant to close. Slow on the best sign-up bonus in a decade because he looked at his balances and felt fine. Neither of those is a knowledge failure. Those are both what happens when the information exists, but it just isn't in front of you at the right time, at that moment when you actually need it. But there's a third cost here as well, and it's the one that surprised me the most when we started hearing it from readers. It isn't about earning at all, it's about spending. And it's the reason that a lot of us, myself included, are sitting on points that you actually have no intention of using.
And so, of course, going in here, I was able to go back and find how many points we spent, but also was not able to find, you know, obviously retroactively what the cash price is.
The situation you describe of kind of points hoarding often has like another layer to it that's, I would almost say, like psychological, where people are so hesitant to part with those hard-earned points because it just feels like they're kind of gone for a moment. Mm-hmm. Like you often hear like those phrases like, oh, I just love seeing like all those points, or I love kind of having those. And it's like the, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. It's just so draining to like you earn all these points over all time because you're focusing on every nickel and dime that you're spending at the grocery store and what card to use. And you have hundreds of thousands in your account and you book something and then you see your account balance drop to like 40,000, and it just feels so draining. But you have the opportunity within My 10X now to log that redemption, where you can actually map out, what did you book? How many points did you spend on it? What was the cash price of it? And it almost just gives it this like little place to sit in your mind and in your My 10X account as like a trophy or like a tombstone or a wall of sorts. And that really has helped a lot of people with that you know, anxiety around parting with a huge sum of points. And I'm really glad that we had that kind of act. That was not by any means the primary attempt at or benefit of that feature, but it has definitely helped.
A trophy or a tombstone. You know, what's being described there isn't really a feature. It's what happens when you can finally see the whole picture at once. The points you spent stop feeling like a loss and start looking like a trip that you actually took. But that only works if there's somewhere for all of it to live. So here's the last part, and I'll be direct with you because you've listened this far. We had this problem, and so we just decided to build the thing that fixed it. Here's what it is.
So yeah, so the short answer to your original question, Bryce, is selfishly I wanted it for myself. So that's kind of why I built it.
This didn't really come out of nowhere. This came from watching people struggle in the same places and us hearing the same feedback time and time again. You know, we wanted to create something that will help provide you with ongoing support and access to enhance your points and miles experience. So what already exists inside of My 10X, which is kind of the foundation for the new 10X Travel Plus, that's all going to stay. You know, the course is still going to be in there and be accessible for free. You know, the My Next Card tool, My Wallet, all of that is staying, but we've built some new tools to help layer in there. So if you want a little bit additional support, as well as some community and award alerts, you can access all of those. Those are all of the things that we're looking to solve, is to help enhance your ability to manage your day-to-day with your points, find your community, find your people, and just really enhance your points and miles journey and experience. We actually did a survey late last year, and this was like the number one thing y'all wanted. You know, you don't want to have to be searching. You know, most people don't miss redemptions because they're bad at searching. They just miss them because they didn't know they existed in time.
Most people don't miss redemptions because they're bad at searching. They miss them because they didn't know they existed in time. Swap a few words around in that sentence, and it covers just about every single scenario that we talked about today. You don't lose money on annual fees because they're careless. You lose it because the renewal date wasn't right in front of you. People don't hoard points because they're irrational. They hoard them because they've never once seen what those points actually did for them. So let me get back to the question we started with. How many points do you have, and what are they worth? If you couldn't answer it, that's the point. It's not a gap in what you know. It's just a gap in organizing, synthesizing a lot of information to be sure that you have it readily available in front of you at the time when you need it most. And it's the reason why you can do this for years. You can read everything and still sometimes feel behind or like you're missing something. And so that's why we built the tool to do it for you. My 10X is free. my.10xtravel.com. Put your cards in and it'll show you your points balances in one place. Tell you when those annual fees are coming due, tell you which card to use where, and let you log what you book so you can finally look back and see the total. Yes, it takes a little bit of setting up at the start, but you know what else takes setting up at the start? Your spreadsheet. And if you've had a spreadsheet before, it can help you fill in some of those gaps from the get-go. And that's it. You know, that's the pitch. It took us time to build it because it turns out the boring problem was the real problem that most people were having. We're going to be back with a brand new episode on September 23rd, and I'll say this carefully because I don't want to give too much away. Some things are going to look a little different around here when we come back. Obviously, the hope is that that's for the better. But no spoilers yet. You're going to have to tune in to find out. So September 23rd is when that'll be. 2 weeks, we've got one more episode from the summer break for you. And if you pay attention to who's talking in it, you might figure out what I mean. So thank you so much for spending the summer with me, with the archive. And until next time, enjoy the ride.